This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome to The Line, Trek FM's podcast dedicated to Star Trek Picard. I'm Brandon Shea, X-24 Mutella, and joined with me today are my co-hosts Chrissy DeClercq-Zalagi and Justin Ozer. Que pasa?
All right, how are you doing?
Bueno.
Aren't you in Canada?
I am, yes. It's a wonderful, it's an Eden up here. It's a beautiful place. We call it Eden.
So many yeah. references.
I was expecting the French, that's all.
Bonjour. Yeah. I can do that too. I, as a Canadian, though, I like breathe cold air like some of the people that we'll be talking about tonight. So,
Yes.
It's good for when you have a really hot coffee. Anywho, in case you guys can't tell, because this is nothing to do with Star Trek, and you're probably like, what the heck is going on? We are going to be talking about the film Logan and kind of maybe how we think that having Patrick Stewart come back to play Charles Xavier one more time may have influenced his decision to come back and play Picard again. And we couldn't think of anybody better to join us on this discussion than our good friend, Mike Schindler. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Awesome. I'm looking forward to this. You've seen this movie a few times, right, Mike?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. And then when they released Logan Noir, I saw that in the theater. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it at home. And then I saw it at home again. So like four times. Four times, five times.
I think you by yourself have seen it more times than the three of us combined.
Yes, no question there.
Because we've all just seen it once now.
Yep.
All right.
I never went out of my way to not see it. Like, I'm not a big superhero movie fan myself. Like, for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I've only seen Doctor Strange, and I saw it under protest.
You're the Martin Scorsese of Trek FM.
You know what? You know, that's such a funny thing. That's my whole Martin Scorsese nonsense. But you know what? That's a whole podcast unto itself that we're just not going to get into today. And I think people just need to chill out. So, but I like Batman. I love the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. I think they're really good. And I did like X-Men, but I haven't seen all of them. I'm the only person who likes X-Men 3. And,
yes, you are.
Yeah, I am. But I didn't watch them all for this. I just never got around to seeing Logan until today. So, you know, now here we're going to talk about it. And we're going to kind of talk about leading up into this little TV show coming called Star Trek Picard. So I guess the first thing that I can ask is I'll jump with Justin here. Justin, what's your experience with the X-Men?
Yeah, so interesting question. Not very much, really. I mean, I think a bit like you said, Brandon, I've never really been much into superhero stuff, and I have a certain awareness of X-Men and what it is, but really, I think in the lead up to this, we were watching Logan, but Mike recommended, hey, see X-Men and X-Men 2, so I watched all three in the last week. And, you know, like there were certain things that I liked, but overall tends not to be my thing. I mean, I think it's interesting to discuss it because I'm always discussing Star Trek and it's good to discuss other stuff, but it's kind of like been a peripheral awareness. But this is really the first time I've sat down and actually like watched or read anything having to do with X-Men, really. Mm-hmm. So,
but there's so much Star Trek in it. Like what's his name? Captain Bateson's in it.
Yeah.
Right, and Brian Singer directed it. He was in Nemesis.
And Famke Janssen was in Perfect Mate in TNG.
Yeah.
I know, like there's lots of connections.
Trek. Yeah. And X2 is basically a remake of Wrath of Khan.
It could be seen that way.
I just watched it last night again, and I didn't make that connection, but I can see that.
Even the music at the end is exactly the same as the music in Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. Chrissy, what's your history with the X-Men franchise?
Minimal. More than Justin, but not by much. Mm-hmm. I was first introduced to X-Men when I was in high school, and I had a friend, Eddie, who, still my friend, have a friend, Eddie, who was very into comics and X-Men, and he was explaining to me how it was used as a social commentary, and I didn't appreciate that at the time as much as I do now. I never did read the comics as much as he wanted me to, and then got reintroduced to the Marvel Universe by my husband, Jason. And I enjoy it. We make a point of going to see him, but I usually don't watch him again after that unless they're just, you know, he's got him on. So I've seen him all at least once.
All of them at least once. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of went over my history with the X-Men movies and, you know, I think they're good. And, you know, seeing Logan for this first time, I was pretty impressed. I thought this movie was pretty fantastic. And, I'm kind of looking forward to talking about this tonight. So, I guess, Mike, what are your initial thoughts on the movie Logan itself, then? As a person who is deep in this franchise, what do you think about Logan kind of being an epilogue to this, or a final chapter to this franchise?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm deep into the franchise. I mean, I've seen them all, but I mean, I think like X2 is pretty brilliant, and, you know, I like some of the ones with the younger cast. But, you know, like the first X-Men and X-Men 3, I can kind of live without those completely. But it's not an epilogue to me. To me, it's a conclusion, which is something that you don't really get in comic books. I'll never forget, like, once I was at a convention and Dan DiDio was talking. He is, like, the editor-in-chief of DC or something like that. And he was talking about how, as far as like long form storytelling is concerned, comic books are kind of unique because they're all second act. You know, you'll get like the origin in like one issue and you'll never get a conclusion, and it'll just be the middle for sometimes decades. You know, I mean, 800 issues, 1,000 issues with no ending. And that's like a really weird thing. And it's really kind of unsatisfying in a lot of ways. And, you know, usually with comic books, also with movie franchises, whatever, they just keep making them until they get so bad that people don't go to see them anymore. And then they just stop, right? So, and that's kind of what happened with X-Men. I mean, you look at, if you think of like Dark Phoenix, the one that just came out as like the finale to the series, I mean, that's really, really not good. Mm-hmm. And Logan was a really unique case where, you know, Hugh Jackman was like, I'm leaving, you know, I'm doing one more of these things. So they had that opportunity. They saw that they had the opportunity to end this story. And really, I mean, as you guys could see watching X-Men and X2, like, even though it is a huge, ones with all the people in him.
Ensemble.
Thank you. you know, he is very much the center of that story. It's told from his perspective. He's our entry point. And more than anything, that his story is about his relationship with Charles Xavier, right? Mm-hmm. So when they said like, oh, you know, Patrick Stewart's coming back, that was sort of mind-blowing. And this thing really does feel like the conclusion of this story, which has been going on for 17 years at that point, you know, 24 years or something in terms of the actual like timeline of the thing. And I just love that. I love the fact that it does have an ending. And aside from that, you know, you just watch it on its own and it totally works. It's certainly the best of the franchise. I think it's one of the best comic book movies out there. And yeah, I mean, one of the best movies out there too.
Mike, I wanted to make a comment about something that you said about being mostly the middle for a lot of these comic book franchises. It actually makes me think Star Trek, in a way, is something that keeps going and going, 764 installments now, without a specific end necessarily. Maybe it'll come someday.
But These Are the Voyages was a love letter to the fans. What are you talking about, Justin?
You know what I mean. That is, and like it keeps, and I know you had things like Enterprise and we've had Discovery that are kind of going back, but now we have things like Picard and Discovery season 3 that are going forward. So it's keeping like pushing forward in the story, and there's not necessarily like an end that you can see to it, which I think is great actually, but it just made me think of that, Mike, like Star Trek as a whole.
No, I mean, that's totally true. But also, if you look at them individually, I mean, the idea of like Turnabout Intruder being like the grand finale of the original series, that doesn't work. And yeah, eventually we got that with Undiscovered Country, but it was 25 years later and by accident, you know? Yeah. and with Next Gen, I mean, you could say All Good Things was that, but then it keeps on going. And now we have Nemesis. And is Nemesis the conclusion that we want? And that's why, you know, I went to a thing. I've told the story before, but I went to a thing where, like, Patrick Stewart was getting, like, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he was talking about sitting next to Hugh Jackman at the premiere of Logan and how he was watching this movie. And, you know, as it was wrapping up, he started getting really emotional. And, you know, he almost started to cry. And then he looked over at Hugh Jackman, and Hugh Jackman was, you know, sobbing. And he's like, okay, it's okay if I cry too. So the two of them held hands and cried while watching the end of Logan. And, you know, that really struck me. The idea that, like, okay, this was obviously, you know, here's not only Hugh Jackman, but Patrick Stewart. Here's a character which he's portrayed for like 17 years. And, you know, he finally gets to have that ending that he deserves. And he never got that with Picard. And when that first little rumor came out, like when he was in that press line and someone asked him if he's seen Discovery, and he's like, no, but I may have a reason to very soon. And people started speculating, like, is he coming back? And everyone was like, that's insane. I agreed that that was insane. That would never happen. But I also thought maybe his experience with Logan, him seeing what that could be, would lead him to doing something, you know, in Star Trek, doing a miniseries or something, which would allow him to wrap up this character that he's been portraying 13 years longer than he's been portraying Professor X, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool that he's finally getting to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you had pointed that out to me at one point, that not including Picard, like, he had been playing Professor X for longer than he'd been playing Picard. I mean, we obviously had more adventures with Picard than we did with Patrick Stewart as Professor X. But from start to finish, it was 17 years versus 16 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is kind of interesting. We see him as Picard, but it's been a long time since we've seen him as Picard. So it's really interesting that we're looking forward to this right now.
Yes, so I hadn't thought of the whole thing about how it's an ongoing story with no ending. I'm used to dealing with history, which is an ongoing story that will ideally have no ending, at least anytime soon. That never even occurred to me, and I just think that's an interesting, interesting way to look at it.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the movie. Now, listeners, beware, because we'll probably get into a few spoilers on this. But I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the plot elements that we see here and how they may have influenced what we're seeing in the trailer. But also, primarily, I really do believe, after watching this movie, that, you know, Mike is right. And this experience for Patrick Stewart made him realize what can be done with a character and made him want to come back for Picard, because of the way that the story kind of concludes for his character, in Logan, right? So, I mean, Xavier dies in this movie, and I was totally not expecting that going this. Like, I hadn't seen any trailers for this or anything. I didn't know the story. I didn't know anything about it. So it was kind of, it was a surprise to me, because again, Patrick Stewart is our hero. And this is not the kind of character that dies for us. So I realize that they're planning to go 3 seasons for this show. At least that's the tentative story that they want to do. But I'm like, man, if he wants to have an ultimate conclusion for this character, then possibly the death of Picard could be the finale of this story that he wants to come back for. And so I kind of wanted to ask that question and see what you guys thought about that. What do you think about that, Chrissy?
I've assumed that the end of Picard was going to be his death of Picard whenever it happened, whether it's the end of next season or three season or 5 years from now or whatever. Especially after Logan. Although, since we didn't know about this before Logan, I can't say what I would have thought not having seen Logan. But that just makes sense. I think that was lacking at the end of Nemesis. I remember a lot of people talking about how that would have worked so much better if Picard had died instead of Data. And I think that would have been a more satisfying conclusion. Of course, then we wouldn't have this and we wouldn't all be talking.
And I think, the other thing, which, whatever, but I think the plan was for Nemesis not to be the last movie. I think,
they had actually planned out a little bit what the 11th movie would, well, 15G movie would be like. I'd have to look up again, but they had planned some ideas for it. It sounded crazy, like it would be this giant crossover or something, if I'm remembering right. But then, of course, like they just kind of canceled.
Well, when Nemesis was advertised, it was advertised as a generation's final journey.
Yeah, but I think the planning for one beyond that was before they had finished the movie.
Before they realized that it sucked and was coming out the week after Two Towers.
This might not do so well. But you know what? Like, I'm going to look that up because I found that kind of fascinating that they were already thinking about a fifth TNG movie in some way.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know Logan was involved in Spiner and everything, and yeah, there was like a plan for that. I'd never heard what it was, and I always wanted to know, but yeah.
Interesting.
The search for Data.
Justin, what do you think about that? Do you think that possibly we could see the death of Picard at the end of this series?
I mean, I have to say, I hope not, because I don't think it necessarily has to be the case that the end of this series called Picard is the end of the character of Picard. I think they could go a couple of different other directions. There could be, one way that they go where over the course, I mean, of course, we don't know what the heck might happen in like a season two or three, but that in some way he becomes some kind of, mentor or something to a new group whose adventures we might follow as a spinoff or something like that. Or it can just be kind of wrapping things up for late 24/early 25th century and just kind of looking forward to what might happen. I don't know. But like, I don't think it's inevitable, and I don't want to actually see that because like there is something within me that doesn't actually like an ending or a conclusion very much. I like when something can keep going or we can keep seeing, adventures for characters. So, I mean, maybe it's just my personal bias that I don't actually want to see that. And I don't like to see that when characters die.
See, one of the things that I think about when Mike was saying this earlier about how comic books kind of just never end, it makes me think of Star Trek, the original series. Now, Justin, you and I, we read a ton of the novels, right? And the Next Generation novels, the Deep Space Nine novels, the Voyager novels that have come out since the show was done have kind of developed this story that continues on, and it's a progression, and the stories build off of each other, and events that happen in the Voyager novels have effect on the Deep Space Nine novels, have effect on the Next Generation novels, etc. Like, it's this giant universe that they've built. But the original series, they're continually telling adventures that could take place at any time in the 5-year mission, at any time in the movies. I'm certain if somebody calculated it all out properly, there's more stories than there are actually days that for this to actually happen,
I think that's
because of how many that there are. And I'm fine with that. And I feel differently about the original Star Trek and those types of stories than I do about the Next Generation novels. Like, I kind of think it would be weird right now if we continue to get Star Trek novels that took place in season one or season three, right?
Well, but I think the reason for that is for the original series, there's like a boundary that's been set, right? Probably around the time of, Kirk disappearing in Generations, right? or I mean, there have been some things that have played with that a little bit before or after, but for the most part, they like to keep in the boundaries of what came before. And there are some things in the movie era or between, like, you know, TOS and the motion picture, but a lot of them are during the 5-year mission, like most of them, I think. So it's like you're constantly, it is like something that almost keeps like cycling through without an end in that 5-year period, which is really interesting. And I still love reading novels in that period of time, but it is different because it's not the same. You know what happens later. It's not the same kind of forward motion you've gotten with the novels that take place after the shows, right? And now we're getting Picard, which is going to push things further, and we'll have novels with that, and it'll keep going. But you're right, TOS is, it's just different.
But I mean, like, they could tell the story of season one with Tasha Yar, you know, dealing with the ramifications of, I don't know, Code of Honor and how she feels after that. Like, they could write that novel.
I mean, I've seen them tend to do that more in comics, right? Where they'll go back to some time during TNG or another series. But in the novels, with a few exceptions, I think, there was a Dayton Ward TNG novel that
they had the second one, but yeah, the two Enterprises, right? So, but again, that was something different in of itself. And he kind of did that so that he could play with those characters, but it's not something we normally get. I mean, the Star Trek, the original series novels, we had like 6 hardback novels that covered the right after Kirk gives his speech in Star Trek VI to them flying to the starbase. There's like 6 novels that take place in that period of time, you know, like, we're done with the Undiscovered Country. Now here's another novel.
But I think it's kind of because there was the original series and the movies. Then it was like, let's go forward in time. There's the Next Generation. And unlike, you know, the kind of ending that you might have in Star Trek VI, Nemesis wasn't really an ending. It definitely left things open to continue, which is, I think, is great.
So, Logan, we've got this finale for this character. I think that definitely heavily influenced, and I think that's something. I think that's a strong possibility. And I don't know how I feel about that because, you know, when it comes to the shows and stuff that I like to watch, like I definitely would rather have a show have a solid finale than have it keep going on and on forever. Like, I look at a show like The X-Files that went on, like, I think season 9 went on too long. Yes, there's some great episodes in season 9, but I think that it went on too long. And then I look at a show like Game of Thrones, where they decided to end it with season 8, and I mean, like, season 8 was a train wreck, in my opinion. I mean, there might be other people who disagree with me, but I think it was. And then we get a show like The Sopranos that doesn't have a satisfactory conclusion. It does, but then it leaves this open debate that people are still talking about, you know, almost 20 years later, 15 years later, on whether or not Tony Soprano survived the end of it. So I don't know how I feel on whether I would want to see that or not. So, Mike, what are your thoughts? Do you think that this could be something that we might see out of Picard in the death of his character at the end of it?
I mean, I think it could be. I mean, I don't think that he needs to die in order to have a satisfying conclusion. I mean, I'm not opposed to either of those scenarios. I think whatever is most appropriate is what they should do. But, you know, like, there's this weird thing where, like, there can be shows which you like Discovery, for example, you know, where it's like, this show's great. I want it to go on forever, you know, like you hear that with like Supernatural or something. And it's like, do we really want Supernatural to go on forever? Do we really want the X-Files to go on forever? Because maybe it would be better if it just ended, you know, like if they were to say like Discovery is ending after season 3, I'd be like, cool. Not because I want to see it go away, but because I want to see it have
an ending,
like a fully formed arc.
I totally know what you mean. And like for Deep Space Nine, for example, like it has a certain ending. Sure, you can take it further and the books have, but it has a certain ending. But like there's a difference between like a series like TNG or having a certain ending or those characters having a certain ending and like Star Trek as a whole, which I hope keeps going because there's so many different directions you can take it in. But a series, it's usually here's a certain idea with these certain characters and you do want it to move on to something else so we can see what else is out there, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, show that Mike and I both watched and have seen the whole way through. Like, I remember when I found out that Battlestar Galactica was going to be done after 4 years, I'm like, man, this show must just be doing terrible. This show must just suck if it's ending after 4 years because Star Trek goes 7 years. And then I watched Battlestar Galactica and I'm like, nope, good call. That was perfect. Like, wow, bravo, yeah. Bravo. So, you know, and then here I am. We're recording it 28th of October, coming up in just under 3 weeks. We got the final season of Man in the High Castle. And I'm like, okay, yes, at the end of season three, I'm like, okay, I hope the next one's the finale because they need to wrap this story up and I don't want this going on forever. And they are actually ending this with season four of Man in the High Castle. So,
okay, so I'm going to drop something in here based on what we were talking about before, the fifth TNG movie. I found out a little bit of information about that. You want to hear about it?
All right. Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, so actually, I think this was from an interview with Patrick Stewart at some point. He said, while filming Nemesis, an idea was being developed by John Logan, the screenwriter of Nemesis, and Brent Spiner for a fifth and final movie, Stewart said. It was a very exciting idea for a screenplay. It would have been a real farewell to the next generation, but it would have involved other historic aspects of Star Trek as well. And I think that's what I read, that they might have wanted to try to bring in other characters and other aspects from other periods in Star Trek's history. So I don't know what that would have been like.
But obviously that didn't come around, so yeah. So with my thought on Picard dying, I will admit that I did not have that thought until I watched Logan. I didn't even consider that that might be a possibility until I watched Logan. So, I don't know. But after watching Logan, I'm like, I think this is a distinct possibility for the end of this, the end of the show.
Hope he doesn't die in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. That would really, really suck if, like, you know, Riker, like, stabbed him in the heart, like, clone Thomas Riker.
Yeah.
Stabs him in the heart with some claws or whatever.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I have to admit something, guys. Like, I had a real hard time watching this movie because I'm not accustomed to so much, like, violence and gore in a movie. So it actually really, like, made it a little hard for me to watch. And when they killed Professor X, I was like, oh, God. I just, like, I don't know. Then I was like, oh, Patrick Stewart's not going to be in this anymore. Oh, well. Anyway.
Well, you got to remember, too, that was the... Logan was the first R-rated. Mm-hmm. It was before Deadpool, right?
It was right after Deadpool.
Oh, okay. So it was the second R-rated. But yeah, so that was a big deal. They're usually not that bloody.
Like, they could have easily made this a PG-13 and pulled back on the violence, right? I don't think that this movie had to be an R, but, you know, that's just me coming in and not being that big of a fan of, like, comic books in general. Like, I haven't seen Joker yet. I'm not avoiding it. I just haven't gotten around to it. I still haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Neither have I. It's all right.
You know, but,
It's not all right. It's okay.
I know. I still haven't seen a Tarantino movie in the theater, and we just had one.
Well, there'll be a Star Trek one.
I still haven't
seen it. Yeah,
possibly.
God's willing.
I hope so. Mm-hmm.
I know Justin and Brandon haven't, but Mike, have you read the source material for Logan, the comic?
I haven't, yeah.
Okay, and
there's a book called Old Man Logan that, you know, is, from what I understand, and I've skimmed through it, like someone at work, like, brought it in, and I kind of, you know, like, the basic idea of it is there, but it's really, really different. You know, it's like post-apocalyptic and, like, all this other stuff. But, you know, it's like one of those things, like, I think kind of like Dark Knight Returns and The Dark Knight Rises, where it's like the idea for it is there, like, maybe on, like, a character level, but what actually occurs in the story is completely different.
Okay.
But I'm not really familiar with it.
There's all sorts of people who are screaming at their iPods right now.
I know, right? Why are you even on here? What are you talking about this for when you haven't even read Old Man Logan? Sorry.
I think they're actually screaming at us because, like, at least three of the people in this conversation are excited for Tarantino Trek. So,
yeah,
yes.
No, I'm all for it.
What?
I was just
right,
expressing my skepticism that it might happen. That's all.
But I'm skeptical of it too. But yeah. I'm really, really hoping. Anyway, going back to the whole, like, R-rated aspect of it, like, at the time, and, you know, whatever, and you see this with Star Trek too. You see this with Tarantino Star Trek, whatever. People are like, you know, hey. this, you know, this is should be for kids, whatever. This is what, you know, and I can see that to some extent in some instances or whatever. I don't really care, but I can see it. But in this case, I think that it's kind of cool that they made it R-rated, and I think it's perfectly valid that they made it R-rated, because the whole point of this movie is that they are concluding this story which began 17 years ago. So the kids who were 13 mm-hmm. years old when that first one came out are now 30 years old, and they've grown up with these characters, and I like the idea that the franchise has grown up with mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. I don't know. I liked that,
right,
that
but
aspect.
Terminator of it, yeah. Genesis was a masterpiece PG-13 film. And for more on that, you can please go listen to Franchise Fatigue, where we had a great discussion yeah. with Max.
No, but I mean, it is true, you know, and I mean, like, this is something that, you know, Max, who's a huge fan of Aliens, would always say anytime anyone talked about an Alien movie being PG-13, he's like, Aliens is a masterpiece. It's an R-rated masterpiece. But if you were to take out all of the stuff which makes it R-rated, it would still be a masterpiece, you know? You could, that's not a make or break for this thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
But I do think it's better with this stuff in it. I really do. So,
yeah.
Did you guys watch the noir version or?
No, I watched it in color.
No, how?
Gosh, yeah. A bunch of losers. Okay.
You just get too deep into it.
The only movie that I've seen where I had a black and white version available was The Mist. Frank Darabont, on the Blu-ray that I have, the second disc has a black and white version of it because Darabont wanted it in black and white. So,
First episode of Walking Dead too.
The first episode, very first.
I think they did a black and white.
Okay. It's not on my Blu-ray.
I think they did all of them, didn't they?
For
Walking Dead? I could be wrong about that.
Every episode or just like the first season?
I forget, like the first season. I remember at one point they're like, we're doing a marathon and it's all in black and white.
Oh, but our DVD set has only the first one. So
yeah,
okay. I don't know about beyond.
I'll have to look. I don't think
anyway, Justin's been trying to say something.
Well, no, I was just going to say, so I didn't really know anything about what was going to happen in Logan, just that Patrick Stewart was in it, really. And I was kind of surprised that basically he's kind of out of it for a good portion of it, or doesn't quite know what's going on. And like, and I was thinking, like, in contrast to what we're seeing in Picard, he's very much like part of the action. You even see him like, what, sword fighting or something in the trailer. Mm-hmm. He's clearly going to be like just as active a part of this. And I think that's interesting. I wonder if there's like something that's really appealing to him mm-hmm. about that, to still be active like Picard, instead of like Picard has like aromatic syndrome for 10 episodes or something, right? Mm-hmm. It just struck me when I was seeing it.
Yeah.
I think a big part of that has to do with the fact that, you know, Logan was obviously very much centered on Logan's story as opposed to, I mean, not that he wasn't very important to it, but, you know, and also, I mean, just as far as like the story is concerned, I would think that there's something to that, you know, the idea that, you know, Xavier found Logan and sort of nurtured him and made him into what he's become, and not, you know, is essentially his dad. And now, you know, his dad is older and he needs to be the, you know, the caretaker in a sense. And mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know, it works for me, but that was appropriate for that story. I'm not necessarily sure it would be appropriate for Picard, right. You know?
No,
I don't think at all.
So I think that does contribute to the R rating because end of life is R rated. Life is R rated. But if you're dealing with somebody with mental and physical illness like that, and I have seen that with a dying grandparent who had Alzheimer's, and it can get R-rated pretty quickly, and so I think that may have been why they chose to go for the more heavier rating or the heavier material that would cause that rating.
I can also see it being like filmmaker driven. I mean, we haven't, you know, mentioned the team behind this, but James Mangold, who's, you know, I mean, he made movies which were nominated for Best Picture, or at least one, you know, and he did the Wolverine, which was the second Wolverine movie, which was pretty well regarded. And actually, you know, they like X2 and Wolverine were originally R-rated. They had to cut them down in order to get PG-13s, but, you know, they weren't necessarily designed that way. But I can see him coming in and having enough pull where he's like, if you guys want me to do this, I'm going to do this for real, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, he had a vision which worked and whatever. And then they just proved that Deadpool, which, I mean, just to place this in context, I mean, like, you think of like X-Men movies being whatever, and the idea of like Deadpool, like this R-rated comedy, which they had been trying to get made for like 10 years. And the studio is just scared of it. An R-rated comedy version of X-Men, you know, that's box office poison. And then it comes out in February and becomes the highest grossing X-Men movie of all time. Like, that's insane. But when that happens, it's very easy to say, okay, fine, take your Wolverine and your R rating and do whatever the hell you want. You're good, you know? And they were. I mean, they made lots of money. So, yeah. Should also note, just as long as we're talking about it, you know, the screenplay for this was nominated for an Oscar. And it was co-written by Mangold along with Scott Frank, who's done a lot of really good movies like Get Shorty and Out of Sight and The Minority Report. And he also created that show Godless. And then also, so it was also co-written by Michael Green, who did Blade Runner 2049 and some other movie recently that was really high profile. I forget. But yeah, so high quality talent working on this thing.
So we're coming off of the weekend of DST, which is the convention in England. And somebody asked Picard, and it was mentioned, sorry, they asked Patrick Stewart, and it was mentioned that
same thing
that Picard is going to be for like an older audience, like Discovery was as well. They asked, can my 5-year-old watch this? And he's like, no, I'd recommend probably a 10-year-old. So it's probably going to be a little bit, not R-rated, obviously, but it's going to be a little bit more violent than we're used to on Next Generation. So,
except Conspiracy.
I'm guessing it's going to be less so than Discovery, Logan. Though. Yeah, probably less than Logan.
A little bit less,
but also less than Discovery. I mean, we were just talking about this on Tracks on the Line for our Scorpion commentary, and it's like, you know, there's a scene in that where there's like a pile of. Borg body parts with like upside down decapitated heads and everything. And it's like, you know, I mean, Discovery is definitely R-rated. I mean, that is a fact, but there is some, it is, it would get an R rating if you were to take it to the board. It has 2 F-bombs in it. That's an automatic R.
Yeah.
And not to mention a baby head.
But somehow, but like when I was watching Logan, it felt like a level above Discovery, where it was just like really brutal.
If an F-bomb is R-rated, then, I mean, yeah.
Your life is R-rated.
Two F-bombs. Yeah.
Well, Mike knows. Right. Mike knows.
I can see that. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying, again, life is R-rated. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I agree. But like, there is some like really brutal stuff in those. Sure. You just couldn't see them through all the static on your crappy cable connections.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, though, we have to remember that violence is not the only thing that prompts an R rating. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
We could be getting sexy Picard.
Yeah.
That would make my mother very happy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, it could be for any number of reasons. Like, and I think it's interesting that we talk about this, because I think they're kind of thinking about the shows in terms of like, okay, there's Discovery, definitely more adult. There's Picard, maybe at that level or somewhat, right? And then I think Mike McMahon was asked about Lower Decks, like, hey, could my 5-year-old watch it? And he's like, I don't know about that, right? So that's
that
maybe like an older
question.
Show.
Yeah,
that, yeah, mm-hmm. as well. But then you have the show on Nickelodeon, which is specifically like geared toward kids. So it seems like they're almost taking the approach of having like separate tracks, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, if you're a kid, start here and then move up to here and then go here kind of thing. So it seems
So Star Trek's a gateway drug. Star Trek Lower, the Nickelodeon one's a gateway drug.
The Nickelodeon show is the gateway drug.
Please.
Yeah. I would think so.
We got it.
Well,
awesome.
The same thing follows as like what Mike was saying with the X-Men fans. You know, if you started watching this as a child, you're an adult now. At least the first people who are watching it as a child.
Or like people who are watching TNG as children are adults now and maybe are looking for something more adult or maybe, I don't know.
I understand that, but part of me does, like, I still wish that they would not be R-rated. Like, even, like, obviously, I watch Logan, I got no problems with it. I watch Hannibal, I've got no problems with that kind of stuff. And I know I've said this before. When I got to the second of the new Planet of the Apes movies, like, I was pretty upset with the violence and the F-bombs that were in that, like, the swearing that was in that movie, because I'm like, this, like, the Planet of the Apes is a franchise that I've been, like, looking forward to sharing with my kids, and then, so these new ones now, I can't, and they are masterpiece films unto themselves, they are fantastic, but it really threw me off and really upset me when that second one came out, not because I don't like that stuff, but not everything needs to be dark and gritty. You know, like, I don't know. So we're having this whole discussion that we've been having since Discovery came out, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that, but like, as some of the examples we've talked about, like Star Trek has had some pretty dark and gritty moments in there. And it was still something that like kids were watching or that was geared toward kids. But like what you were talking about in Scorpion or what happened in Conspiracy or like, well, that was some intense stuff, right? Right.
Yeah.
So we've had some of that in Star Trek. I think that there's different degrees of it. I think Discovery was pretty dark and intense at times, but I don't think Picard will be as much so as Discovery, if I were to guess.
Okay. So one thing that I've been trying to get to in this conversation, because we're going all over, which is great. I'm loving this. We're getting a heck of a lot more out than I thought we were going to out of this discussion here. But one thing that I did see in Logan that really made me think of the Picard trailer is this young girl that they're there to protect. Mm-hmm. Right. So in this, it's like Logan's daughter. She's like a female Wolverine. I don't know if there's a special term for that. I don't know my animals.
Wolverine
with foot claws.
But this is something that we see in the trailer. We've got this young woman who's coming to Jean-Luc Picard and asking to be protected. And so they're going on this mission into Borg space, you know, which is basically North Dakota, right?
So Borg space is North Dakota. Yep.
Chrissy, you're in North Dakota, aren't you?
No. What?
Aren't you in North Dakota? No, you're in Minnesota.
No, I'm in Michigan.
Michigan. I don't know. It's all the same.
Northern Michigan, though. I'm in a flyover. It's
in
fine.
In Canada, they think all the northern states are all the same. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, they're all basically Canadians. So.
Well, Michigan does have wolverines, though, right?
We do. Yeah.
That's like the whole thing.
Not a native species, though. The football team is named after it's not a native species. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, Michigan history later on Trek FM.
But your point, Brandon.
Yeah. So they got to go through North Dakota, right? So in Logan, that's what they do. Yeah. And, but yeah. So I don't know. What do you
think? Oh, that's why you said, okay.
Yeah. So, so we got this young girl that they've got to protect and it's coming to them. I saw that. I don't know if you guys saw that connection as well.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't think about that. I think that's pretty interesting. I mean, the circumstances are somewhat different because this young woman in the Picard trailer is specifically coming to him. And in Logan, it's like the caretaker, nurse or whatever that's bringing Laura to Logan. But yeah, there is an interesting generational thing, right? It's like in Logan, it's like passing to the younger generation. And it feels like in some way in Picard, there is going to be something like passing toward a younger generation. Cause like the crew that he's with of all of these, I don't know, misfits or whatever on his ship are much younger than Picard, right? That are helping him on this mission or whatever he's doing. So yeah, I think that's probably a good analogy, like older generation versus like the younger generation and how they might move forward or what they can do in their own time, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I do see the connection. I do think it's interesting, and I think the idea of, you know, sort of passing the torch or whatever, or, you know, becoming the parents in the story as opposed to the, you know, like the main character. Yeah. I just watched Jay and Silent Bob reboot, and there's this amazing scene where Ben Affleck is talking about how, like, once he had a kid, he realized that he's no longer Bruce Wayne. He's Bruce Wayne's parents. Anyway, yeah, you know, but I mean, that idea, I think, is true, you know, in life, so, yeah.
Chrissy, any thoughts on the young girl? The similarity there?
I mean, yeah, I once you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense, but we don't know, I feel like we don't know enough about her yet to say that there's much beyond that similarity.
Yeah, but we know enough to say it's somebody who's younger who is in need of this person's help, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We do, beyond that.
Yeah, beyond that, we don't necessarily know why.
Okay, well, I don't know that I have much more to add to the discussion on Logan versus Picard, because, again, we're just speculating. All we've seen is a trailer. So I guess we'll go around. I'll ask you guys your final thoughts on this. Mike, any final thoughts on the discussion we've had here tonight?
I guess I would just say that, you know, I'm really excited that if Logan did inspire Picard, you know, I'm happy that that happened, but I'm also happy that maybe some people are going to check out Logan if they haven't seen it before, because it's really, really good. So yeah. And if you have seen Logan and you liked it, there's a new movie, by the same director, coming out very soon called Ford versus Ferrari. And it's also very good. So check that out. Mm-hmm. Not nearly as many decapitations, but still,
yay!
Chrissy, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll just echo that. If this is what brought Patrick Stewart back, then you know, that's fantastic. And Logan could be terrible, and I would still love it for that reason. So even though it's not terrible, but yeah, it's. I think maybe we should revisit this after Picard's over. And think about it.
In black and white.
In black and white. Yeah. We'll add in old-timey static for the audio. But yeah, I think maybe afterward we'll be in a better spot to discuss similarities. In 3 years or whatever.
Justin, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting because, I mean, took me out of my Star Trek comfort zone, check out some stuff I hadn't seen. I mean, I did find it really interesting, even if it's not really my thing. But like, I think the comparisons that we drew and that might have been inspiration for Patrick Stewart to maybe say yes to picking up the character of Picard again. And actually, I would be interested if in some way, I think the idea for the Picard series originated with Kirsten Beyer. I'd be interested, actually, if in some way she was maybe inspired to think about that. But anyway, that inspiration is great. Thinking about some of the comparisons of somebody later in life and like what they're doing and thinking about that for Picard. I think it is a pretty interesting lens to think about it. So yeah, we'll have to come back in a couple years, maybe see if our predictions were correct, whether Picard dies as part of this thing or not. but anyway, I enjoyed the discussion, and it's always fun to have a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I guess the only other thing that I'll add now is kind of diverting the track. So again, with this DST celebration that they had in England, Picard said that we may very well see more crew members from Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's right.
Coming Please. In seasons 2 and 3.
Yeah, and he was teasing us about Gates McFadden appearing as Beverly Crusher. I think he said something like, oh, it would be really nice if somehow she was on the show. So, yeah.
Just as long as she's not decapitated.
Oh, please, no.
Let's put that for everybody.
Yeah, I think there's going to
Except
be...
Except Data, maybe. Like, you could decapitate... Like, there's decapitations in Next Generation all the time here, Justin.
He has been decapitated.
Yes. See, it wasn't that just the decapitations. It was just like the gruesome stabbings and blood spurting everywhere that I have a problem with that sometimes.
Prick him, does he not leak?
In black and white, it's not, you know, nearly as gruesome because it's black and white.
Okay. I'm still not going to watch it in black and white. Sorry. Okay.
Maybe we should watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the spurting blood.
There you go.
But that was supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
And it was.
It was.
Okay.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you coming on to talk about Logan, because we are clearly not...
not versed enough to be in your universe.
Not proper people to lead this conversation.
I don't
conversation.
Think that I am either, but, you know, whatever.
You are.
Not qualified. That's the word I was looking for, yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Where can people find you when you're not watching Logan in black and white?
Well, you can find me right here on this very here podcast thingy, doing Tracks on the Line. Where we provide audio commentary for episodes of Picard and other things. Mm-hmm. And you can also find me doing the same thing in the Edge feed for Star Trek Discovery. And you can find me on filmdamagepod.com doing a show called Film Damage. You can find me on thenerdparty.com doing a show called Retro Perspective. And you can find me on Talk Film Society on December 13th or thereabouts with Bayhem, our Michael Bay retrospective podcast. It's going to be very bombastic. We cannot wait. And yeah, you can also find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K.
We never got to finish our thing on Twitter there. What did you think about my widescreen anamorphic Armageddon that I've got?
Oh, yeah. I want to see it for sure. If it exists, I want it. And yeah, let's see that, because that's the first I've ever heard about that.
I will show. So mine's the slim one. So okay. I have the Rock on Criterion, yeah. And it's the thicker case, right? Yeah. Like most of them. Yeah. So mine is a slim one, and it's got just the sleeve inside for the two discs.
Does it have the scene with Lawrence Tierney in it?
You know, I've watched it once. I don't really like Michael Bay.
I mean, with his dad?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right.
I don't remember.
You guys need a separate movie discussion room here.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
It's not a very good movie. It's okay. I don't know.
I like hearing you guys talk about it because I have nothing to contribute.
Oh, it's got Jason Isaac in it. And there's this amazing line.
There's the connection.
Because he's a scientist guy, and he's trying to explain why all of these other ideas for, you know, destroying this asteroid aren't going to work. And then someone's like, "Who are you?" And then Billy Bob Thornton says, "You might want to listen to him. He's pretty much the smartest guy in the world." It's awesome. It's worth it just for that. Anyway,
I'll take your word for it.
Aubrey watched it. I put it on for Aubrey, and she thought it was great. Yeah. So
Criterion.
That movie with the Aerosmith song from the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Criterion Collection. Yes.
Sure.
It's there. All right. Part of it.
Excellent. Well, Michael Bay is not all we've been discussing here on the network this week. So please take a listen to this clip and see what else you may have missed elsewhere on Bayhem FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
But good discussion. Like, I love, you know, talking about the science. And Joe, I love that you bring it up. Justin.
I need to stop reading it. I'm sorry.
I'm closing, doing close my the final window. Thoughts. Close and the you're window, all Justin. Laughing over me.
Joe, you need to keep all of this in.
This is an intervention, Justin.
Okay.
Close the window.
Oh my gosh.
Literary Treks.
I talked to Bob Klein, who I had interviewed for Saturday Morning Trek, and he's like, "Yeah, come on over. Let's go look through my garage and see what we find." I'm like, "Okay." So I drive over there, and I was greeted to two, you know, those fold-out tables that you have for, like, picnics? Two of those end-to-end with, like, three boxes, larger than file boxes, and, like, moving boxes size, and just papers and folders that all had Filmation on it just brought out.
Standard Orbit.
I bought it when it first came out. I played it for like 2 or 3 days and I went, "What is going on? Am I missing something? Is just I'm not a good player?" So, and then I checked on the reviews online and everyone agreed that it was not a good game. And we were all correct.
And introducing our newest show, The Line, a Star Trek Picard podcast.
I'm so honored that I was chosen to pick Picard. And as a Next Generation fan, I mean, he was one of my favorite characters. And so I wanted to, and I know how he's extra special to lots of Star Trek fans beyond even just being the character he played on the series. And so I really felt a huge responsibility to try to give the fans something that was enjoyable but and honored who he was, even though it was staying true to the fact that he is 20 years older.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. That helps others to find the show.
And if, like me, you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, and in most third-party apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the line. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trek.fm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trek.fm. So, Brandon, where can people contact you when you're not talking for hours on end with Mike about movies?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Metella, and I'm wrapping up my Warp 5 run. So as of the recording of this, we just had our episode 200 release where we interviewed Judith and Garfield Reeves Stevens. Next episode is Movie Night with Patrick. We're doing Spaceballs. And then we had a nice little wrap up, where we got two of the previous hosts to come on with us and do a little final retrospective episode there. You can find me on the United Federation of Podcast Network with a show called Franchise Fatigue, as I've mentioned. Zach from Standard Orbit, he and I have a show where we go through movies and sequels and remakes. And over on our own feed, as well as on the Fandom Podcast Network, you can find Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, where my friends Chris and Tom cover Alfred Hitchcock films in chronological order. And our last episode released was Foreign Correspondent, which maybe... I don't know, Mike, you're still here. Maybe you can answer this trivia question for me. So the Hitchcock was nominated twice in the same year for Best Picture with Rebecca and Foreign Correspondent. The only other time I could think of was Soderbergh with Traffic and Aaron Brockovich. Can you think of another one?
Yeah, Victor Fleming with Casablanca and Gone with the Wind in 39. And Coppola for Godfather 2 and The Conversation in 74 or whatever it was. I those are the only ones that I know of, but there may be more.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent. Right on. Chrissy, where can people find you when you're not kicking people with your toenails?
it's a lot more severe than a kick, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. In addition to here on the line, people can find me in the Babel Conference, of course, and on Twitter at The Goddess Livia. That's TheGoddessLivia. You can also follow my work as an historian by liking the Facebook page my fellow historian partner and I run, History with the Zilagis, and that's spelled S-Z-I-L-A-G-Y-I-S. And that's where we post about our historical research, and that includes my blog and short podcast, Ancient Aliens is BS, where I go episode by episode debunking the History Channel series. And, Justin, where can people find you when you're not looking for the... bloodiest, not bloody version of a movie you can find?
You know, yeah, I just tend to have, like, I wouldn't have actually watched this if we didn't watch it for the podcast, because I just tend to avoid anything really with lots of gore. But, well, when I'm not always not watching those, does that even make sense? Anyway, you can
I don't
find
think what
me-
I said made sense, don't worry about it.
When I'm not,
well,
not,
Justin,
not
just
watching.
Wait until I force you to watch Hannibal for this podcast.
No. Like,
wait, the movie or the TV show?
TV show.
No. That's going to happen after I force you guys to watch a comedy that somehow has something to do with Picard.
I've already watched it.
You've already watched it.
Oh, you didn't name it. Sorry, I thought it. I was just being sneaky there.
Well, when I'm not trying to... I don't know what... So you
you're not trying to watch the PG-13 cut of Logan.
Whatever. Does that exist? I still... Anyway. No. Well, you can find me elsewhere on the network co-hosting Earl Grey. That's our dedicated podcast to The Next Generation. We have a great time every week talking about that show, and that's with my friends Joe Keegan and Amy Nelson. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. and not X-Men at all. Except, you know, I have this Star Trek X-Men crossover novel on my shelf that I'm going to read one
Planet
day.
Planet X. So, by Michael Jan Friedman,
that will
yeah.
be the exception. Anyway, you can also find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
And we'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our current associate producer, Norman Lau. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and especially The Line.
So join us again next time for another episode of The Line.
You guys, this is so effing cool.
Things are only impossible until they're not.
Outside! Outside! Outside, everybody, outside! Line up, everybody, line up, line up, line up, gup, 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 guppies!
There we go. Best part of the podcast.